Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Just three short chapters. This is God's word. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. Oh, Lord! Are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest because he is as greedy as the grave and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, "Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion." How long must this go on? Will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain, to set his nest on high, to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from wineskins till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed man's blood. You have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol, since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, "Come to life," or to lifeless stone, "Wake up." Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Kushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth, and in anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Habakkuk is writing at a time when it seems like everything's falling apart. He begins this prophecy with his complaint. Why do you make me look at injustice? In other words, I don't want to see this stuff. Why do you tolerate wrong? Stop and think about that. Have you ever looked at the world and said, you know, if God is good, why does he let this stuff happen? Where was God when this happened? Where was God when that happened? Why does God tolerate wrong? That's what Habakkuk wanted to know. And God didn't shut him down. God inspired even the questions. They're good questions. They're questions that should be asked. If you don't realize that what's going on in the world is a mess, you're a mess. If you don't realize when you look around at the evil, the violence, the sexual perversion, the drunkenness, all the stuff that is typical in our culture, if you don't see that and say, well, that ain't right, then something's wrong with you. That's the way we say it in East Tennessee, if you haven't realized that. It's not right. It's not supposed to be that way. It is a mess. So where's God? Habakkuk doesn't say, I'm not sure there's a God. He knows there's a God. His question is, why is God not intervening? Why isn't God doing something about all the wickedness that he's seeing every day? And so he asked God, which is a great thing to do with your questions. Habakkuk asked. And God answered. Wow, here comes an answer from God. What's he going to say? God says, I am doing something absolutely amazing. You're going to be astounded by what I do. That sounds good. God says, I'm raising up the Babylonians to punish the people for their wickedness. The Babylonians? God, the Babylonians? Really? They're horrible. They're worse than we are. And God says, I know. And God describes how horrible the Babylonians are. And he says, but they're going to be my instrument to punish my people for their sin. That is not the answer I was looking for. That is not what I hoped would happen. And so when the Lord says he's going to use the Babylonians, Habakkuk doesn't just accept that and go away. His name means to wrestle. And so he wrestles with God a little bit. He comes back with a second attempt. Okay? I asked God a question. God gave me an answer. It really wasn't the answer I was looking for. So let's try this again. Chapter 1, verse 12. Oh Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. Oh Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. I get that. Oh rock, you have ordained them to punish. I got that. Lord, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. I know, God, that you hate evil. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? God, why would you use somebody who's more wicked than we are to punish us? I'm not saying we're not wicked. I'm not saying we don't deserve punishment. I'm saying the Babylonians? If you're sitting here this morning and you don't understand why such a message would be on Pastor Wood's heart, there's horrible, horrible wickedness in our culture. We're not the Jews. We're not ancient Israel. We are not the tribe of Judah. But we are a people who have been singularly blessed by God. We have an astounding legacy in this country. And it's absolutely gone to waste. People have totally forsaken the most basic elements of sanity. And if you try to explain to folks, here's what's wrong, tons and tons of our fellow citizens are like, huh? What? Well, I mean, who can say? I mean, judge not, lest ye be judged. So God, what are you going to do? How can you just stand by, God, and watch that stuff happen? Oh, God says, oh, listen, believe me, I'm going to deal with it. So you're going to raise up somebody really righteous and good to lead? God says, no, that's not actually what I have in mind. I'm going to raise up. This is what he told Habakkuk. I'm not saying this is what he's saying to America, though it does seem to fit, at least in my opinion. In the case of Habakkuk and the Babylonians and God's Old Testament covenant people, what happened was bloodshed, famine. I mean really, really, really tough stuff. The kind of stuff that we've grown up thinking could never happen to us. Because I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. For now. My master's is in history. And if you look at what has happened throughout history, you see that once proud people get devastated time and again.
Pastor Wood, are you trying to depress us?
No. I'm trying to be sure that we're grounded in God's word so that we understand our security is not in a political system or an economic system. It's not in the fact that we can grow crops. Our security is in the Lord. Our security has got to be in him. Habakkuk says, verse 17 of chapter 1, is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? That's his question to God. Then he says, I'll stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he, that is God, will say to me and what answer I'm to give to this complaint. Okay, God, I know you heard me. I'm asking you again, are you going to really keep letting this kind of thing happen where the Babylonians go out and violently oppress? Is that really what your plan is? Then the Lord replied, I'm going to deal with the Babylonians too. They're going to be brought down. That's God's answer. That's what chapter 2 is about. God says, you know, yeah, he looks really proud. He looks really arrogant. He looks really powerful. It's going to be brought down low. God promises that he will do that to the ruler of the Babylonians. But you know what? By the way, if you want to know more about that, read the book of Daniel. They had a ruler named Nebuchadnezzar who was ruthless. He's being described here. He was God's man. He was chosen by God, a crazy man chosen by God in order to punish God's people. He ended up having a complete psychotic break and living like an animal outdoors. His fingernails grew out and they were like claws. And I mean, he literally was like an animal until God gave him sanity once again. And he repented. So even proud, powerful people can be brought low and humbled by God. Oh, absolutely. But this isn't just about Nebuchadnezzar. It's also about stuff that's to come in the future. Don't worry. God's got the whole thing mapped out, and it turns out, and you need to get this, God's in control. So, the Lord says that he's going to judge those violent, aggressive, prideful, selfish, greedy, sensual, intoxicated people. He's going to deal with his people. That's where judgment starts. It begins with the house of God. And God's going to deal with those he used to bring judgment on the house of God. So in chapter 3, Habakkuk responds to God's response. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God, I get it. You're going to pour out your wrath. But oh, in the midst of the wrath, please remember mercy. Look at verse 3 through 7. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the skies. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. I'm liking this so far, aren't you? I mean, that really sounds good. Oh, God, you're glorious. You're mighty. Light is shining out. This is going to be great. Here comes our God. Verse 5. Plague went before him. What? Plague went before him. Well, that doesn't sound good. Pestilence followed his steps. Our glorious God manifests himself, and going before him is a plague and coming behind him is pestilence. That's all kinds of problems. How can that be God? I'm sorry, but this is not what I was hoping for. This is what God showed Habakkuk to expect. When God shows up, he's magnificent. Circumstances can be ugly. God will often display his glory by putting his people in situations where we're desperate and we have no answer except for him. I don't care where you live. I don't care what country you're from. I don't care what problem you're facing. God puts his people in situations where we don't have any other hope. Because all other hopes are idols. And they're all in vain. God is the only one who can save. So, God came and he delivered his people. But he did it with great destruction. Verse 17 and following, a very famous and wonderful passage that you all ought to memorize. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. He allows me to come near to him. That is why I'm rejoicing. God makes it very clear. He alone is righteous. He alone can save. And God will save all who trust in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.